Okay, I've drawn the short straw, or maybe you have, because I've got to speak tonight. And it's just a kind of a collection of random thoughts, I think, between me and Luke. We've cobbled together something, so I hope it makes sense, and I hope you get something out of this. I really don't like Ecclesiastes. I'm going to be straight up with you. I had to read this passage for my grandpa's funeral, and I think that probably put a bit of a dampener on it for me. And then we had to study it in home group, and I just came away going, oh my gosh, everything's meaningless, what's the point? And yeah, I wasn't very happy. But the more I've looked over this, the more I've seen how much truth is in this, and actually there's a really positive message to get out of it. So hopefully I can impart some of that today. In the first few verses, and what the kids have been talking about and put their views on, in verses 1 to 8, there's a real sort of rhythm of life. All of life seems to be encapsulated in these sort of 8 verses. There's a balance between the good times and the bad times. There seems to be an order that comes out of it, out of the chaos, out of the randomness that life can seem like. There is actually a structure. And that comes from God. And I just wanted to share a little example from my own life about how some things can seem so completely random and not good at the time, and how it can be brought out for the good. When I was about 13, I lived on a farm in Somerset. My dad was the herdsman there and looked after the cows. And we'd been there for 3 years. And then they turned around and they said to my dad, well, the cows aren't making any money anymore, so we're going to have to sell the herd. So my dad was out of a job. So on the face, that doesn't seem very good. And we were living in a house on the farm that came with the job. So our house that we'd had previously, we were renting out. So the family now had to move out of the rented house. So that wasn't good for them either. And they did. They moved out and we had to move back in. And their oldest boy was the same age as me at school, which will become relevant later on. And they moved away, and eventually they moved away from the area entirely. And not long after, the father became really ill and had a brain tumour. And they found out that the hospital where he needed to get his treatment was actually right on the doorstep of where they'd moved to, which just seemed brilliant. Great, he can get treated and he's much better now. And then, because I'd moved back home, I started catching the bus to school. And the boy that was the same age as me obviously moved away. There was a space in my school, and this girl started appearing on my bus, coming to school with me every day. So we ended up chatting, as you do, get to know her a bit. She didn't really speak to me at school, but on the bus, quite chatty. And she started then coming around to my house at weekends, and we became friends, and she started coming to church. Life at home for her wasn't great. She really was having a tough time of it. And she got to know God, she got to hear the message, and she gave her life to Christ, and she got confirmed, which is a great, great moment. And you just wonder, if I hadn't moved home, if I hadn't been going on the bus, if this family hadn't had to move, then she would never have got into the school. And it's just amazing, these 3 lives, out of something that seemed pretty terrible individually, actually, it all came together for the good. And it just got me thinking about how we don't always understand how God's working. His ways aren't our ways, and we can't always understand it. But we do get glimpses of the little picture, of a little picture that is of the big picture. That didn't really come out right, did it? We get a small glimpse. And the analogy I used in 18 the other day was, our little patch, our little glimpse might look really muddy, really horrible, brown and not very nice. But you stand back and you see the bigger picture, and it's a beautiful tree. And actually, what was seen as horrible and not very nice actually is part of something beautiful. So, yeah, and God is in control. God sees the big picture. He's weaving it all together. He's got control over it. And for me, that's a great relief. So I wanted to link this into verse 11 of Ecclesiastes, which says, "He's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end." So we don't always understand, but God's there and God's in control. And in all situations, God is good. It may not seem like it, but he is. He's good. And he wants us to enjoy the good things that he's giving us. They're gifts to us. You might feel like, I don't know, time's passing us by, or, you know, there's a million things that I should have done last week and I haven't done. But the stuff that God's given me for today, that's good. And that's what I should be thanking him for. And that's shown in verses 12 and 13. It says, "I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God." So even in the bad times, God has a plan and he is in control. And we were thinking about this and we were thinking, actually, there's a really great example of this in the Bible. And that is Jesus' death on the cross. It's such a small glimpse of the bigger picture. This man who's perfect, who hasn't sinned, is crucified, is dead and buried. And all his disciples are like, "Whoa, wasn't expecting that. That's not what was supposed to happen. Something's not quite right here. This is bad. This is a bad situation to be in." They just don't know what to do. And yet God brings good out of it. Jesus is raised from the dead and we're given a chance to have a right relationship with him. And this is only a very small glimpse of the bigger picture, because this has been part of God's plan from the beginning, from before the world was created, and it's part of the plan that's ongoing now. We're all part of that plan, that perfect plan that God has. I mean, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he didn't know that Jesus was going to die and rise again. He hadn't seen that part of the picture, but we have. We've glimpsed that. And that's something to be really thankful for. So then we get on to verse 14, and verse 14 says, "I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it so that men will revere him." So he wants us to recognize his glory, recognize his sovereignty over everything, that he is in control through the good times, through the bad times, for us thanking him for all the things that he has given us, so that we can revere him and see him in his proper place. And then in doing so, we can be in a right relationship with him. Okay, that's all I have to say. So I hope in some part that was helpful.